afternoon and welcome. We've read the original submission and the pre-circulated evidence, so thank you very much for that. You don't need to reread that out, but I see you've tabled something that you'd like to read to us this afternoon. And you might want to introduce, we've seen you a lot before, but we haven't seen your colleague.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Beside me is Peter Robinson, who's the network manager for Southland for the New Zealand Transport Agency.
Afternoon.
So as you suggest, Mr. Chair, I'll just run through my summary and then Peter, Mr. Robinson's got a very brief statement to read out and then yes.
Okay.
Probably the key point through my evidence and through my summary today is around recognition of infrastructure in the proposed plan. And as noted in my evidence, paragraphs 6 through to 13, I do consider there is a gap in the policy direction regarding infrastructure. The proposed water plan under section 67.3c of the RMA must give effect to the proposed RPS, and in terms of infrastructure, the relevant policy is infrastructure 1. The related method is infrastructure 1a. And I've listed those at the bottom of my evidence. The Transport Agency submitted that a new objective be included in the proposed plan, recognising and providing for regional and national infrastructure. The wording of the suggested objective was recognise and provide for regional, national and critical infrastructure. Method Infrastructure 1 of the proposed RPS is very directive and requires the inclusion of objectives in regional plans that will enable development, use, maintenance and upgrading of infrastructure. In my opinion, the proposed plan should give effect to Objective INF1 and Method INF1A through inclusion of the objective promoted in the Transport Agency submission or an objective with similar wording or intent. As without it, I consider the proposed water plan will not give effect to the proposed RPS. So I note there was a response in the recommending report that suggested Objective 2 of the plan as notified covered the issue. But I don't agree with that. And I also note that Objective 10 does provide for one specific piece of infrastructure.
Yeah.
There seems to be a gap in relation to other forms.
Yeah.
So that's the issue covered. Policy 15, the Transport Agency sought some changes that would align the wording of that policy better with the terminology of the Act. And again, I repeat this text, so I won't do it each time, but it comes back to the direction of the RPS and provision for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Rule 9, there was a change sought to that to provide for infrastructure maintenance activities, and that would provide an exemption for the use of agrochemicals by infrastructure providers such as the Transport Agency. And that aligns with an exemption that's there to provide for, I think, the Council's catchment management team to also be able to use those agrochemicals in certain situations subject to certain conditions.
Yeah.
A minor point, I guess, around the definition of a bore or well. So there was a change sought by the Transport Agency around drilling or construction of test pits and soak holes. And the submission does seek that they be a permitted activity. And that the issue there comes back to the definition of a bore. And I guess the nature of soak pits or soak holes, whereas bores are generally, or wells, you're taking water, soak pit or soak holes about draining water.
Yeah.
So again, I think those changes do align with that broader policy directive of the RPS. Just to finish up, the remainder of my evidence largely focuses on changes sought. And the submission, it was quite a detailed submission, but they can all be sort of linked back to aligning the proposed water plan with their policy direction in the RPS.
Yep.
And that included in the further submission of the Transport Agency support for the addition of a definition of critical infrastructure, which another submitter had raised.
Yeah.
And there at Appendix 1, I've just listed the relevant policy and method from the RPS and the definitions of different infrastructure also from the RPS.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Hi.
I'm actually the senior network manager because I've got a few grey hairs. The Transport Agency made the submission on the proposed Southland Water and Land Plan as it has an interest in the provisions of the plan in relation to the management of the state highway network through Southland. The Transport Agency regularly undertake a wide range of water-related activities to ensure we meet our objectives of operating a state highway system in a way that contributes to the integrated, safe, responsive and sustainable land transport system. The state highway network in Southland is approximately 800 kilometres long and includes 247 bridges. We regularly seek and obtain resource consent under the Regional Water Plan for erosion and flood protection works associated with maintenance and operation of the state highway network. The works we undertake often require management of surface water, storm water, and in some instances, groundwater. Our main concern with the proposed plan is a lack of recognition and provision for the state highway network as a piece of regional, national, and critical infrastructure. While we don't have an issue with obtaining resource consent for many of our larger scale maintenance and development activities, there should be better recognition in the plan at a policy level of the strategic importance of the state highway network. This would ensure that the benefits derived from the operation of the state highway network are recognised and provided for when development, use, maintenance and upgrading of the highway infrastructure is proposed and these resource consents are processed. As outlined in our submissions, we are of the view that smaller scale maintenance activities on the existing network should, in many circumstances, be subject to meeting listed conditions and be permitted activities. Our submission on the plan seeks changes to various parts of the plan which will better recognise and provide for the state highway network in Southland. I thank you for the opportunity to speak this afternoon.
Thank you very much for that. And just before I hand over to the rest of the panel, I certainly understand the point you're making about infrastructure, regionally, nationally and critical infrastructure. That same point's been made by a number of other submitters, including the territorial authorities and the further submission of Transpower. So there's a lot of similar submissions being made to us on that point, and we certainly understand the point being made. And also, in terms of that definition of a bore, the issue you raised regarding soak pits, or test pits, that's the same issue that has been raised in Environment Canterbury and a number of regional plans that Commissioner Ellison and I have dealt with, so we're also aware of that issue in that jurisdiction, and the response that was made there in terms of that was simply to exempt those from the definition of bore, so we're aware of that issue as well. But I'll see if the panel has any further questions for you, Lloyd. Maureen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to pick up two points. In the one that you've just sent out to us, you've got a definition for critical infrastructure. But I noticed in your evidence, point 63, you've actually got a similar but a slight wording change. Do you have a preference? One you start with just straight infrastructure, the other you start with critical infrastructure.
I don't think necessarily there's a preference. I'm trying to remember why we have a different, slightly different wording. I think probably what it is, we went back to look at the RPS later on. I don't think that, I think infrastructure would be fine.
Okay. Can I just go over to your further over in there, you bring up Rule 32 and Rule 35, and it's in regard, it speaks about stock truck effluent disposal sites. Yes. Am I reading it correctly? You were quite concerned about actually having a number of these sites around Southland, and you were concerned that that issue was being complicated by the discharges and storage issues and not the for an infrastructure to do its job. You were trying to keep that slippery surface contaminant off the road. That was important to you, and you didn't want that to be confused with the storage and discharge of that from Pacific sites.
That would be correct, yeah. So the aim is to try and facilitate these being built. We've only managed to get one in Southland at the moment. The aim is to have a few more around to keep that safety issue off the road.
So I think I'm picking it up correctly that it would be disposed of through the normal processes. And how big are those storage tanks? Because my recollection, it's only about 30,000 litres or so, is it?
Correct, but the one we put in at Five Rivers has had to be emptied quite regularly. It's actually been under designed to a degree, so we'd need to be more, have a bit more safety factor in future ones around the district.
Yeah, Councillor, I could probably add a bit more context to it. Basically, it was the submission report was seeking some allowance in the plan to recognise the benefits of those sites, and part of what we were seeking was the ability. At Five Rivers, it was proposed that a discharge consent would be obtained to discharge the neighbouring farmer's land. That may still happen yet. So it was looking for some allowance to have a permitted discharge associated with those sites in those scenarios. And that was to align the amount of farmed area from discharge with those that were permitted under that rule. I think the recommending officer's response was that the volumes are likely to be held and those sites are probably too high to be permitted, so that's probably a fair enough response. But I think if there's more recognition of the infrastructure policies, if the transport agency still have to go through a consent process for that effluent discharge, that would provide some more some recognition of the benefits of it.
Under the critical infrastructure framework in which you have indicated to us today.
Yeah, because it's related to state highway infrastructure, and, we can highlight those benefits.
Yeah.
But I'd probably concede that the adding a permitted rule allowing for the volume of effluent may not be appropriate for the month. So a discharge consent process is probably the appropriate process rather than a permitted rule.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very fulsome submission, which I think I understand most of. We just have one question around your comments on policy 32, which is protection of significant indigenous vegetation and habitat. And you make the comment, because none is identified in the plan, that section of the plan should be removed. So I'm not exactly sure whether you're saying if we've got significant areas, they should be put into the plan, or you don't believe they exist, or what your comment actually is driving at here.
I think, through you, Mr. Chair, the context is, I think in a perfect world, if you could identify and list them and have them in the plan, you would, but obviously that's not practical. But it's where the transport agency, where they're doing works that need a resource consent, especially on a highway like the Milford Road, 94, State Highway 94, often there can be, vegetation needs to be removed, indigenous vegetation. So I think what it was trying to raise was the issue of, in relation to infrastructure projects, sometimes things have to be removed to enable those to occur. And it was really around the terminology of that policy. I just can't recall what the recommendations on around it were.
The recommendation is to refine it so it's indigenous vegetation and habitats of indigenous fauna associated with wetlands, lakes, rivers and their margins. So it's focusing more on aquatic than terrestrial. Yeah. That's the recommendation to us.
The word significant is also in there.
Yeah, well, and significant aligns with the Act in terms of Section 6, so
yeah.
I don't think there's a reflection, probably there's too much of a problem with it. It's just more highlighting how it works in practice on the
program. Thank you for that.
Yeah, perhaps on the same line in terms of your paragraph 17, really, in the issue with Tongan species and the evidence. In Tongan species and in Appendix M. I understand, as the chairman has outlined, the matter of significant regional infrastructure. Just wondering in practice how you see the issue there with the Tongan species, and are there practical ways you can work with Te Whenua to develop a protocol to work on those particular issues?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair, I think there definitely is, and the Transport Agency works closely with iwi when they're, you know, seeking resource consents in terms of consultation, and there's no objection to having those in the plan. Again, it's just in practice when they're seeking consents, especially on a road like the Milford State Highway 94 road, some of those species that are listed, you know, especially in regards to plant species, sometimes need to be removed. So it's coming back to that balance around the infrastructure policies of the plan. If they're there in the consent process, there's not such a concern with that list, because there's some balance there to consider those positive factors around infrastructure, maintaining, upgrading, whatever it is. So I don't think there's any objection to having them in the plan. It's just highlighting. Has I answered the question? Hopefully.
Yeah, you have in part. I was just thinking of practical ways you can, you know, I think you've mentioned that NZTA work closely with Tangata Whenua. It's really about having processes in place to facilitate.
Do you want to touch on what you're doing, Stan, on the 94?
No.
With DOC, I suppose.
We have working relationships on the 94, for example, with DOC. We have regular meetings with them. Our aim is always to minimise what we have to do to achieve what needs to be done. Like, for example, we've got 350 trees that have been identified for coming down along that road. It's been done through an arborist in full consultation. So that was a specific job with a specific outcome that went through a good consultation process to ensure that everyone's satisfied. We're doing what we need to do, not overdoing or underdoing.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask about Rule 32, and you're wanting to change the activity status from restricted discretion to controlled, and then if it doesn't comply with the range of conditions, go to non-complying to discretion rather than non-complying. And it sort of caused me to think that maybe these steps are actually a kind of a unique case, because if you water down or if you weaken the provisions that relate to all these other effluent storage things just for the steps, then maybe we're, sure what the phrase is, but you're doing something to everything else when all you really want to do is to make a better provision for these storage tanks, basically.
Well,
so is that kind of
an
overkill then?
Through you, Mr. Chair. Well, it's they definitely have positive effects.
Yeah.
They're part of the physical environment. They should be managed sustainably. They're a positive thing. So we're trying to seek some allowance for them. But Mr. Robbins has said the intention was to establish more of them around the province.
Yeah.
They'll be done under this plan.
No, so I think that we all agree that desirable. We need more of them, and to put them in is, you know, to make it simpler is good, but what I'm trying to say is that you're catching everything just to try and make it easier for these things. And it would be better, maybe it would be better to have a specific rule around them rather than affecting everything else.
Yeah, and I think perhaps one of the problems with Rule 32 is it's covering a lot of different types of effluent storage.
Mm.
When it does, as notified, seems to me to be actually more focused on farm dairy effluent. And obviously the territorial authorities are coming to speak. I'm sure they'll be talking about this one as well. There could be recognition of the different types of effluent storage.
Yeah. Okay, that's something to go on with. Rule 59 in relation to culverts. Can you recommend that it have a 0.5 AEP flood event criteria, which you do for your bridges, but for, once again, for everything else, I'm just wondering how appropriate that would be for a culvert on a farm, for example, where you don't have any record of the flood of the flow regime on the creek. How would somebody be able to determine whether or not a culvert can take a 0.5 AEP flood, which I understand is quite a remote, it's a one in 500 year flood, is it?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's a good question, but I think probably where the submission was coming from was there's probably also an issue with just having the wording flood flows.
Yeah, I know that's a bit vague.
And I'll have to, it's sort of getting a bit outside my expertise, and probably Peter might be able to provide some insight, but if the information is available, my understanding is it's a better way of understanding what those flows could be.
Yeah.
A bit more science, but behind it.
The flow at the culverts, on a farm, not necessarily on a road, but on a farm, would be designed to for the flood flows to go not only through the culvert, but go over and around them as well. So maybe it's not so critical for one of those as it is for a on a road.
Through you, Mr. Chair, but the element there would be ensuring that there was a definition between what would be happening on the road versus the farm, which isn't quite the same culvert performance. Now, culverts are supposed to be designed to ensure that they cope with a 1-in-100-year flood process.
Yeah.
So therefore, to change that process would be to inhibit our ability to manage those culverts on our infrastructure.
Yeah. A 1-in-100-year flood is a 1% AEP, not a 0.5. You might like to check that, though.
I could be wrong. I'm just working off the top of my head. It might be 1 in 500.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've done any culvert design work.
Yeah, I think through Mr. Chair, obviously the transport agency has an interest in making sure their culverts function well. And maintain the ability of the highway to function. So I just go back to your previous question, thinking about further. I think perhaps one of the key points around that effluent storage rule is where. And the plan has notified seeking a higher level of standard of design and certified engineer sign-off.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that does lead towards perhaps having a control consent status where that occurs.
Yeah.
In effect, through that higher sign-off requirement, should be more reassurance that it's appropriately designed and will work. So that's probably part of the, I know there's been a few submission points made around amending that rule.
Okay, now it's a bit clearer on my mind, so I can think about that.
I could come back to you around that AEP, talk to our engineers if you wanted me to.
All right.
So what was the actual question on the AEP?
Well, the question is, first of all, the 0.5 AEP is quite an extreme event. And is
200 year return period.
Is that appropriate for other sorts of culverts in addition to the ones on the roads? And how would a farmer on a creek that doesn't have a record of its flow determine what that was? And there was one other question, Mr. Chairman, on Rule 61.
Mm-hmm.
As a permitted activity to be able to place in rivers a range of things, erosion control structures, debris, traps, rail and mesh, rope retards, etc. And that goes a lot further than what the rule is saying at the moment. And I just wondered whether that really is in conflict with Section 6 of the RNA, which talks about the natural character of rivers, because some of those things seem to be fairly extreme to be as a permitted activity. And Objective 18 as well, which talks about the same sort of thing. And at the moment, under the plan, my understanding is you would need to get a resource consent to do those things, and you're saying you want it as a permitted activity, but some of those things would make quite a big change to a river, I would think.
Through you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd fall back probably a bit in terms of the things I've already talked about, in terms of the water plan needing to provide for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
From a transport agency perspective, they don't undertake those types of works unless they need to. And where they do undertake them, that's to protect that infrastructure.
Yeah.
So you're correct that Section 6 matters need to be have regard to. But also there's that balance of maintaining and being able to protect that infrastructure.
Yeah.
Also, I'd note that under the current, the operative plan, riprap is permitted.
Yeah.
And from a transportation perspective, a number of the other things listed there are generally put in associated with riprap. So I guess part of the argument, if you like, is that they're not that dissimilar to riprap. I mean, groins are probably a notable difference because they do change the flow of the river. That's their design, they're intended to. But the other thing, I guess, with that rule is there is a number of other, well, a substantial number of permitted conditions that need to be met. But if your concern is around visual things, then when those things go in, they do change the appearance of that part of the room.
Mm.
Do you want to comment on what happens over time?
Terms of maintenance.
Yeah, well, the appearance of what they should have about it. Yeah, does that answer your question?
Sort of, yeah. It's still, you know, you've got the erosion control structures, well, what are they?
Well, another way to reframe is what happens if those structures don't go in, I guess.
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't go in, I'm just saying, is it appropriate for them to be permitted as opposed to, say, restricted discretion or something like that?
Well, I think things like the rail mesh, rope retards, a lot of those things are things that will happen with, say, riprap, for example.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think I've got some clarification for that anyway. So. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chairman, for being so long.
And no further questions from me, but thanks very much for the detailed submission and Greg Vincent coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.